new technology in field films. And for this portion of it, there will be two field film talks. We're going to talk about fumigation films. Again, I'm Josh Freeman with the University of Florida. I'm located in Quincy, Florida. And for the most part, a tremendous amount of our industry in Florida and South Georgia and much of the Southeast still relies on soil fumigation for soil-borne pest management, whether it's weeds, nematodes, soil-borne pathogens, so on and so forth. You know, I'm not going to spend much time on this because I'm sure most of you understand what plasticulture is, but it's just a thin sheet of polyethylene. Stretch it tight over the soil. Tremendous benefits from reduced moisture loss, protects pre-plant fertilizers that are in the soil from leaching, rain splash into the canopy of the crops for fruit quality issues, so on and so forth. And up until maybe 10, 12 years ago, low-density polyethylene was the industry standard. Still is, to a large part, the industry standard. We do have some gains being made by less permeable films. And, you know, I was telling somebody earlier, this is essentially just looking at the crops that rely mostly on plasticulture production, but we have a tremendous amount of plasticulture in the U.S. My guess is we have around 60,000 acres in the state of Florida alone on an annual basis. And so most of it is annual production. Some of it is double cropped, triple cropped, but a lot of it is single use. Goes in the ground, grows a crop, pulled up and disposed of in one way or another. That's what we'll have a talk about later is recycling efforts. This is just an aerial photo. This is pretty standard for us. This is a tomato field in South Florida. Prior to planting, that's what it looks like. You can see trucks and little people that look like ants walking around to give you a sense of scale. Plastic films now come in, you know, different shades and colors and thicknesses and everything else. This is some metallized film that's used primarily to repel insect pests for certain insect vectors of viruses. But this is pretty standard for us when it comes to springtime production. Black films tend to dominate in the spring and white and metallized films in the fall. This is like my primary indicator for fumigation, whether it works or not, is nut sedge. This is primarily purple nut sedge. There is a row of plastic there. And there's cantaloupes there too. If you look far right, you can see some foliage, but there's cantaloupes in that row as well. Probably not going to be a strong yield from those. And so, you know, in one form or another, we deal with some type of soil-borne pest or soil-borne yield-limiting factor, which is why we fumigate. So this is just a little diagram of vapor permeability. And that's what we're concerned with. Fumigants go in the ground, nearly all is liquid now, subsequently volatilize, and the vapor goes somewhere. We'd like to keep it in the ground. That's ideal. But you can see, again, low density was our industry standard, still maybe arguably is our industry standard, but it is our film with greatest permeability. So it has very little resistance to fumigant moving through it. Then you go to high density. Virtually impermeable film, we have a pretty decent history with that. It has I'll kind of explain the schematics of the films here in a second, but virtually impermeable film is a lower permeability to fumigants. Then our newest film is totally impermeable film. TIF came on the market, or at least people started to talk about TIF in about 2008. The first films that were really usable were probably produced in 2009, 2010. At that point, it seemed like a really, really long shot because the initial cost projections were really high with TIF. But there's multiple players in that market now, and as with anything, when you get multiple people in a market, the price has come down. So the cost differential now is roughly 10% between VIF and TIF, probably another 10 to 12% between that VIF to HDP or LDP. So it is a more expensive film. There's technology in it. So this is the difference in TIF. Most of our PE films, standard PE films, there's a single layer of either HD or low-density polyethylene. The technology comes in this sandwich. And that orange layer in this sandwich for totally impermeable film is ethylene vinyl alcohol, or EVOH. A nylon polymer of some sort tends to be the central layer, the sandwich layer in VIF films. And EVOH is less permeable to fumigants than a nylon polymer is, sometimes by, you know, a tremendous amount. So the idea is that we can, you know, we can use less fumigant, we can put less fumigant out, we can keep that fumigant in the bed longer, and therefore, or at least the hypothesis was that we would get better control of soil-borne pests. The idea is to, you know, extend our dose response. So is it perfect because there's not a mushroom auto shape or smart shape in PowerPoint, but ideally this would be a mushroom and not a circle, because what fumigants tend to do, they're taking the path of least resistance from your injection points, which are black. They would go up and then around. And so when they go up and hit that film, if you got a film that's not very permeable, they're going to go through. And some fumigants are better going through film than others. So really, if you just imagine from red to green, that'd be like a low density versus a TIF. And we do see better dispersal within the bed profile with a highly impermeable film, because eventually it's got to go somewhere. And so it forces itself laterally when it can't go vertical anymore through the film. This is just a cartoon dose response curve. So if you're familiar with plant pathology and the calculation of area under disease progress curve, dose response can be calculated much the same way. So it's just a time and fumigant concentration. And obviously the dose response is higher under that green curve than it is under the red. And ideally what we'd like to do is create that green curve with less fumigant. Fumigant's fairly expensive. So if we can create a greater dose response with less fumigant applied, that's beneficial for everybody. And so this is when we first started doing this. This is a trial old now, back in 2011. This is with the fumigant dimethyl disulfide. And so this is a combination of dimethyl disulfide and chloropicrin. Chloropicrin is pretty ubiquitous in our industry, and it's usually mixed. The problem is most of our fumigants aren't real broad spectrum like methyl bromide was. I mean, chloropicrin tends to be pretty good on soil-borne fungi. Palladin tends to be good on weeds and nematodes, not so good on fungi, really good on weeds when it's mixed with chloropicrin. So you can look, it's kind of these central curves right here. That's standard. That's what we would consider a standard use rate, 50 and 60 gallons per acre under VIF. That's max, 60 would be about the max label rate under VIF. And so then we got this staggered rate range from 20 to 50 gallons per acre under TIF. And so you look at this green curve here, that's 30 gallons per acre under TIF. So we've got essentially a very similar dose response with a half X use rate. You go to 40 or 50 gallons here, and you greatly increase that dose response with as much or less fumigant. So that's ideal. That's what we're looking for. Just pay attention to this column here. This is a tomato trial that was done, same trial as that. And so we read the gas within those beds. It'd be done on every second or third day. But this is the results. And again, nut's edge tends to be our primary indicator for most fumigants. When we're first starting out or looking at some new technology, we look at nut's edge. It's easy to see. A grower can see it. They can look at it and say, well, this is working and this is not working. So you can see 21 plants per square foot with our untreated VIF start at 20 gallons per acre of, that's Paladin Pick 7921. So what we found is that we can get excellent control with a half X or essentially a third X use rate. So that's very positive. That easily translates into yield when you've got a yield limiting factor like nut's edge. This is early season, and so again, it's easy to look at this and say, I can pick out every untreated in a field. It's pretty simple. And so even this plot right here, that's a 20-gallon per acre rate, so that's a half or third X use rate. Still early, but trust me, it translated through the season. We didn't see any breakthroughs here. So the double-edged sword of keeping fumigant in the ground longer is you keep fumigant in the ground longer. And fumigants are, by their nature, phytotoxic compounds. They kill weeds and everything else. So, and this is different for some fumigants than others. But you can see here, if we keep the use rate relatively standard under TIF, this is days after treatment, and this is just a reading of gas in the bed. What we have found is that roughly 125 parts per million, it seems to be a pretty safe concentration for a lack of phytotoxicity with dimethyl disulfide. So we can extend that plant back period. That's essentially what we're looking here is a plant back period. We can extend it about 10 to 12, 15 days if we use a really high use rate. So that's the double-edged part of this sword of using TIF is it is going to extend plant back. And so you can look here to get to these concentrations with these reduced rates, 5 to 7 days extension in our plant back period. So I think that's to the point where it's fairly manageable for producers to do that. So we've done this with nearly every fumigant that's available. This is with a mixture of 1,3-dichloropropene and chloropicrin. This is the dominant fumigant in our state and really in Georgia in combination with another fumigant. And so essentially the demonstration was the same. Standard use rate under VIF, our reduced use rates under TIF, rapid drop off. This is 14 days after fumigation. So you can see we can cut the use rate substantially and maintain a similar dose response. And this combination of 1,3-D and PIC tends to be weak on weeds. And what we found out is that when we put it under TIF, we can cut the use rate and at least maintain efficacy, if not improve it. So that kind of the same thing that was played out with the Paladin and chloropicrin played out here. This is a different trial. I just wanted to show this. So this was the use rate with VIF, and these are nuts edge counts. So the higher the bar, the worse the fumigant performed. And so this is a trial we got currently. So this is LDPE. We didn't even use LDPE in this. We did in here. This is 30 days after fumigation with a shank applied 1,3-D chloropicrin combination under LDPE. That's 4 plants per square foot. That's a loser all the way around. You can't beat that back. 4 plants per square foot is going to be a major yield limiting factor, and that's at 30 days. Plants really don't stand a chance. Fumigation costs. We've done this with every fumigant we've worked with. It pays to use TIF. You can cut the use rate comfortably by 25 to 30%, especially now that the price of films has come down. It's cheaper with every fumigant to use TIF and a reduced fumigant rate. The fumigant is more expensive than the film is. And you can see this is just based on 30,000 acres of adoption, which is essentially part of our, if we got this adopted in part of our pepper and tomato industry in Florida, that'd be 30,000 acres. That's an annual savings just in input costs. That's not including what it saves them in yield, productivity. That's just input costs. So, I mean, once you get used to the slightly extended plant back period, it's really a no-brainer for producers because they get better efficacy with less input costs. So, that's an alligator tail. I had producers that had seen that slide like 8 or 9 times and finally asked me what it was. That's an alligator tail. And I've got about 1.5 to 2 minutes for questions. So, yes.
In your early nut edge slide, you show that even without doing it, even though TIF is somehow beneficial, and this other unique use situation, sort of pathogens, and if you have been pumping enough, then we call it incredible field effect versus field. What's the explanation for that?
So, that slide was in 2011, and when Raven first started making a TIF that was deployable. When Raven first made films, Raven's a film manufacturer. They're the first ones to really manufacture a TIF. That was a 1.8 mil film. Nobody uses a 1/8. Raven still makes it, but nobody uses that 1.8 mil film anymore. It's really all come down to 1.1, 1.25. And so now if we compare those two side by side, we don't see a difference. I think that was really more physical than anything. Because it's a really, really robust film. So, that's something that we kind of put to organic growers that, yes, you could do something that provides somewhat of a physical barrier, but I think that was really what that is just a remnant of the physicals.
Just to follow up,
I think Nuts Edge will even come through a pool liner, which is probably 2+ mils. Certainly, it's going to be reduced compared to like a 0.75 mil LDPE, but completely impermeable, probably not. Highly reduced permeability to Nuts Edge penetration, certainly. Maybe 1.82 mils might be as good, as high as you could go.